that from INAC's estimate. Rather than try to argue how we do the estimate, we looked at INAC's numbers and said, well, if we're just focusing on this period of time, let's just pick their number for the end of that first 5 years of operation. In that period, we'll do progressive reclamation. We'll collect field data to help us determine what that depth of capping should be. And we'll come back to the board later and argue with some data and with fact that we've already done reclamation, and for the second license term, then argue that it's not going to go to 43 million because we've already done some of the work. And all parties at that point would recalculate the liability for the second license term based upon the actual conditions at site, the work that's been done, and looking at the data we've collected on this capping depth. We're confident in doing that, that at this point, the reclamation liability that we come to at the end of the life of the mine will be much less than that $43 million because of the work we've done. This is just a quick chart. I won't go through it. This is taken from the INAC presentation. They calculated reclamation liability at the end of year one and at end of year five. This is the fifth year of mining operation, so 7 years from now. And that's where we got our $26.1 million number from. This is just another quick chart to show you how we calculated the buildup of that $26 million and the activities that have occurred on site year by year. And I won't try to read through that. I'll leave that for you to look at. You've got the slides in front of you. But it just shows you what's taking place on the site to show this increasing disturbance level and how the bond should increase. And you can see that it actually reaches $26.1 million in the fourth year of operation. And these numbers, these would actually be a bond posted at the beginning of each year. So before the activity takes place. The other issue we'll hear a lot about during the next 2 days is the split between water and land liability. INAC has recommended in their submission that that split between land and water should be a two-third, one-third split. In other words, two-third of it coming to land and one-third coming to water. I'm sorry, it's the other way around. The AEM has not tried to determine a split. We haven't done that split because, in our opinion, reclamation can't be broken up. It has to be done as a cohesive one job. You can't differentiate an activity that affects water versus land. If you do, it's subjective. Reclamation has to be done as a holistic approach. So as an example, we took an example from the INAC estimate. If you look at the waste rock dump, the waste rock dump is all on land. However, in the INAC estimate, they have decided that that should be divided 96.5% as a liability to water and 3.5% as a liability to land. That's assuming that the split is assuming that reclamation totally fails, and so everything then is related to water because whatever we did on land failed and ultimately affected the water. Well, in that case, I could argue that even if I don't take a building down, if I let it just sit there and rot, ultimately it will release contaminants which will affect water. And we could say that for everything. So perhaps taking that logic, everything is a water-related liability. We recognize that the parties have been working very, very hard to identify this issue of double bonding and come to a solution. But we know that to date, as far as we know coming into this hearing, a decision or an accommodation hasn't been met as to how this security could be held. And it really isn't critical to Agnico Eagle as to how it's split or how it's held. Our concern is that we're not asked to bond more than the total of the security, that we're not asked to bond it twice. As you see here in this slide, if that reclamation security were to be what the two parties have asked for, INAC has recommended that you seek from us $29.1 million of the security, of that $43 million, as water-related. That leaves the KA having to decide what security they should ask for. Is it the difference of $14.9 million, or do they ask for the whole $43.9 million to protect them from claims against the land? It is their land. If that were the case, this could result in Agnico having to post a security bond of $58.8 million, which we can see is well above the actual cost that anybody predicts reclamation security to be. So this is what we call double bonding of $14.9 million. This is an issue we recognize that the Water Board has already spoken to. We recognize that you have indicated in the past that you agree that land and water can't be split, that they're interrelated. In trying to isolate water from land, we end up, if we were to work that way in actually doing reclamation, our reclamation would be very inefficient. For example, I would have one group coming in to do one activity and they have to bring all their equipment to the site, and then another group coming in to do another activity because they're doing only land and I'm only doing water. It would not be an efficient way of moving forward. And it would result in much higher costs. You'd have double management, double administration. On a very large scale, that double bonding could add tens of millions of dollars to a reclamation bonding requirement, which would make development of mining projects on Inuit-owned land at a disadvantage compared to Crown land, where you don't have this two owners or two responsible parties. So it places at disadvantage, this double bonding, the ability for mines to actually move forward on Inuit-owned lands. It's also an issue that would be unfair to industry, as it does result in us having to put more money into a bond at the front end than is actually needed to do reclamation. And I won't go through these in great detail, but here's just three ways we think this could be resolved. And I'll let you read through those. I won't take you through them. But there are ways that the parties could resolve how they hold bonds so that we don't end up with a double bonding. No matter how you look at this, it's really an issue between INAC and the landowner. We recognize that the landowner has worked very diligently to try to find a solution to this. We know that. And perhaps the board could encourage these parties to address and resolve this issue as part of their interventions. Perhaps the landowner could hold all of the security, or perhaps a 50-50 split is equitable. The key point to Agnico is that we do not believe that we should be asked to put out more money than the cost of total reclamation is calculated by all parties. Going on to construction conditions, Part D, we have proposed in our application a staged approach to the licensing of the dewatering dikes and the associated facilities. What we mean by that is we have put in front of you the detailed design drawings, or the engineering drawings, for the construction of the East Dyke and the Portage Pit, Bay Zone Dyke. These are the first dikes that are required for 2008-2009 and for this first portion of mining. We have given you conceptual designs for the next phase, but not the detailed designs. And what we've asked the board to do is to place in the license a condition where we would submit those detailed drawings to you 6 months for approval prior to us building them. The reasoning for that is to allow us to gain experience from these first dikes and to incorporate those into the final engineering drawings and to bring that experience base back to the board and allow the process to move forward without reopening the license, but to have the board have its opportunity to approve those final designs. Conditions applying to water management. There are a number of areas where water will have to be released from this project. This is a listing of them. At the technical meeting, us and all the parties worked diligently to try to come forward with some suggested discharge parameters, and I think we have come a long way. And so what I'm going to show you in the next slides is what we have proposed as the discharge standards for the license. The first is for non-contact water. That's water that's been diverted from the site but doesn't come in contact with our specific rock or facilities. And we've proposed these two limits as the numbers for the license for those two periods, for the total suspended solids. We also have to dewater Portage Lake, Second and Portage Lake, to get this dewatering done. And so we have proposed these as the license limits at the end of the pipe for discharge of that water that we're dewatering. Environment Canada will speak to turbidity